What's the 411? 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse this hour with members of the Florida Youth Against Hunger. 1 in 4 children live in food insecure households in the United States. The existence of childhood hunger in the United States threatens future American prosperity. In Florida, 20.8% of children are experiencing food insecurity. The state of Florida ranks 10th highest rate of food insecurity in the United States for children under 18 years of age. Food insecure means they lack in consistent access to a nutritious, balanced diet. Florida Youth Against Hunger is a statewide movement created, planned, and run by Florida youth. Teens join others across the state to volunteer. Events have been held in Tampa, Tallahassee, and Miami to raise public awareness. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Matthew Morse. Matthew is a senior at Lincoln High School. He's into writing and reading and his church group, and we're glad to have him. He is a return to 411 Teen. He's been on before, and we're always glad to have you.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
And we have Erica Jones. Erica, it's so nice. She's doing it twice. She's been here before, too, and we're really glad to have her. She's a recent graduate of Rickards High School. She will be attending Florida A&M. In the fall, she will be majoring in nursing.
Thank you for having me.
Ashira Pelt we have on the phone. She is a 2010 winner of the Bank of America College Leaders Program. She graduated from Hillsborough High and currently attends Mount Holyoke College. She is majoring in cultural anthropology. Ashira?
Hi, it's a pleasure to be on the show.
Glad to have you. Rafael Magoyo, he is in Tampa. He graduated from Jesuit High and is attending St. Leo University. He is a pre-med student.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Glad to have you. I just look forward to talking with you all. I mean, I just commend you so on just what you have done as far as volunteerism is concerned. My opening question is, how was Florida Youth Against Hunger organization created? How did it evolve? Can you share that with? I'll start with Matthew and get input from you, Ashira, and you, Raphael.
Well, last year in 2011, Ashira, Raphael, myself, and several other teens from across the state of Florida were chosen as teen panelists for the Teens Only Town Hall meeting, which takes place in Tallahassee. So that's how we all got to know each other to start off. Last spring. And then in early summer, we started learning more about the issue of hunger mm-hmm. in the United States and Florida. And of course, we're from all across the state. We started emailing each other, started talking about this issue, and we decided to hold several events to try to raise public awareness and encourage action. So we worked last summer, and that culminated in an event last August in Tallahassee and Tampa, and then later in September in Miami.
Okay, we're going to talk about those events. What was the impetus for you to become involved, Ashira?
Well, I work at the Boys and Girls Club of Tampa, and a lot of the times I see kids who come there, and, like, you can tell a lot of the kids don't come from the best background. A lot of them aren't in stable houses. And you can tell the ones at lunchtime who are just, like, storing their food or scarfing it down and different things like that. And it just sometimes it just seems like a shame that the kids are so hungry. And Florida is one of the top producing agricultural states in the United States. And it just, I don't know, it really got to me seeing them and learning the statistics about mm-hmm. hunger in America and especially in Florida. So when Matthew approached me about working on the topic of hunger, I just jumped on it. I was really excited to actually be able to make a change.
That is great. What were some of the, would you just elaborate and talk about some of the behaviors that you noticed that distinguished these kids that you knew whose backgrounds may have been somewhat compromised? What kind of behaviors did you see?
Well, they do different things, like they'll take extra snacks or different things like that and store them in their lunch boxes mm-hmm. and take them home with them. Or they'll come up to me and say, Mrs. Shira, I'm so hungry. And even after they've eaten their whole lunch and some of the mm-hmm. other kids' lunch. So it's just, mm-hmm. when you see things like that happening and you know, like I've, in my house, we've always had a stable food source. And just knowing that some of these kids are going home and they're not going to have a dinner or they wake up and they're hungry and they haven't had breakfast and they're coming to the Boys and Girls Hub and that might be their only meal. Mm-hmm. It's a really tough thing to deal with.
I see. Raphael, what was the impetus for you to become involved?
Well, since I was little, I've always liked helping others, and I've never really felt like doing anything other than that. And I guess, like you mentioned earlier, that I wanted to study pre-med, I do, and it's mainly because I want to help others, so mm-hmm. I felt it was natural to go out and help. And also, Ashira, she's a close friend of mine. We've known each other for a couple years, and knowing that she was involved also got me involved even more because I had a close friend that was involved in an issue, and we could both work together, and that's why we were able to do the Tampa event.
Now, you mentioned Children's Week and the teen only hall meeting. Will you all elaborate on that? Because we don't know what that is. And so would you share with me and the listening audience, what is Children's Week and the teens only hall meeting?
Well, it's an event that's held once a year in Tallahassee mm-hmm. at the Capitol or the town hall. And it's where teens from across Florida come and they're teen panelists. They present questions that they themselves formulated to the Children and Youth Cabinet. And myself, Ashira, Raphael, and nine others were a part of that back in 2011. Mm-hmm. And so, Ashira, Raphael, what do you have to add to that? What do you think was important about what we did as teen panelists?
As like teens, since we went up there representing our age groups, I thought it was really important because mainly I haven't really heard of before youth being allowed to represent their age group. Mm-hmm. It's mainly been adults normally, and so being able to go up there to Tallahassee and be able to speak on behalf of the entire population of Florida youth was a great honor. And I think it was definitely one of the big steps that will initiate teen involvement in politics and mainly just speaking out for what youth need with a youth voice and not just the adult voice.
Okay. And Ashira, how were you selected?
I was selected through the same process with Raphael and Matthew. It's mm-hmm. just you send in an application and the Youth Commission gets back to you. And I also thought it was a great opportunity because, like Raphael said, it's not every day that youth get the chance to go up to the people who are actually making the decisions and give them their input on how their decisions have been affecting us and what we'd like to see.
How were you received?
I think we received pretty well. One thing that I remember, I've been to Children's Week 2 years now, and last year we talked about having a formal way for youth to always be involved on the youth cabinet board, and this year we actually have the first Florida Youth Commission cabinet, which is made of, I think, 12 or youth that work hand-in-hand with the Florida Youth Cabinet. So I thought that was really exciting to see actual change from year to year.
Yeah, indeed. Now, this meets once a year, is that correct? Or how does this work?
The teens only town hall meets once a year.
Mm-hmm. Usually, is it always Tallahassee?
Yes, always okay. Tallahassee. It's usually in April. This year it was earlier in January. But as Ashira was saying, the Florida Youth Commission was formed from the members of the Teens Only Town Hall.
Okay.
And they meet, they have monthly conference calls, and they meet more often to represent the voice of the youth, as mm-hmm. Raphael was saying, that we're sort of we help to represent children, teens across Florida.
Okay. How does one connect? Let's say someone's listening and they hear about this. How do they connect or contact you all? I mean, do you have a website, or what would they do?
Yes, we do have a website, and we also, we try to go out and speak to as many people as possible about this. And then, I personally, since I'm in college now, I go around and I tell some people, and then if they're interested, I'll tell them more about it, and then I let them know where they can go to donate food or where they can go to get involved. But lately, the two events that we had, the one in Tallahassee and the one in Tampa, that was our main outreach for that part of the year. And hopefully we are going to be doing a lot more events as time goes on to get more outreach, but mainly doing things like this, like the radio show, and getting people to know more about us is our main way of communication and getting teens involved.
Well, 411 Teen applauds all of you. I mean, it's so reassuring to see young folks involved in volunteer efforts where you have really taken the reins and you have directed. You know, I think that is just great. So I applaud all of you for your involvement. First of all, how are you funded? Do you have money? How do you have money to do these kinds of things? Is this just out of your own love and out of your own pockets, or what do you do there? How's that handled?
Well, on the Tampa side of the event, I know the community was very, very giving. We've had lots of different donations from College Hunks Hauling Junk. It's mm-hmm. a moving company that funded us with helping to get trucks to move the different canned foods that we collected. And we had our location donated from the Ybor Historic Society. Mm-hmm. So we just had an outpouring from the community. I think just the community seeing youth so involved doing things like this, they just couldn't help but help us. So we had a lot of luck on that side.
So you're saying they were very responsive and receptive. Now, did you find
yes.
the same thing here in Tallahassee?
Yes. Here in Tallahassee, we had a lot of help. One of the leaders of the Capitol Police Department, mm-hmm. She volunteered to supervise the event. We had our event by the old Capitol building mm-hmm. here in Tallahassee, and for events, we're required to have at least one officer there to just supervise, and she volunteered her time to do that. And organizations from the community, like Second Harvest of the Big Bend, a huge food bank, and other charities, they came to the event very willingly, very supportive to educate the public about the issue of hunger and what their organizations were doing about it. So they all came, and also Representative Michelle Refwinkle Vasalinda came and spoke at our event, mm-hmm. and so it didn't cost us anything. It was very helpful what the community did for us.
That's great. Now, Erica, I know you've interfaced with the community because you said you were involved in some food distribution. Or talk about what you were involved with as far as the community was concerned.
Well, last year I went to Tallahassee Homeless Shelter and fed the homeless with my friends and my family, and we fed like 200 plus people. But with the community, we went to different people and asked for food donations or any type of donations that could go towards the food. And then my mom helped me a lot with the preparation. But as far as asking for donations, the community was receptive. They were friendly. They were like, you know, yes, we want to help because we're trying to make a difference as well. Even though they weren't at the homeless shelter feeding the food with myself and my family, my friends, they were like, yes, we want to help out. So,
what kind of reception have you gotten from your friends when they hear what you're doing?
They definitely want to get involved. My friends definitely wanted to get involved. I can only have a certain amount of people to help me out, but the people I did ask, they were like, yes, we want to help. So,
problem. And is that true of you too, Matthew?
Yes, I found people very happy to help in any way they can.
Okay, that's great. Now, how does one access your services? I know you mentioned that you have a web address. Would you share that address with our listening audience so they would know?
Yes, our web address, it's a little, it's a bit strange, but it is youth2011.wix.com/FYAH.
Do that again.
It is, our website address is youth2011.wix.com/FYAH.
And so they could contact you via your website, or is there a telephone number? If someone hears and they want to become more involved, what do they do?
Well, you can go to the website, and there's a contact page, and that gives the contact information for myself and for Ashira Raphael and some of the other contacts who are other people who were involved last year.
Okay.
So they can, with email.
Now, is there any limit to who can be involved? Is there a criteria for those who want to become involved or participate?
Right now, we don't have a number. As many people as can get involved, we'll try to spread them out throughout the communities and get them to help as many organizations as possible. But if they also want to contact us by email, they can send us an email to floridayouthagainsthunger@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. As for our listening audience, you're tuned in to 411 Teen, and I am talking with Florida Youth Against Hunger. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily. Tuned into 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and other interested folks. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me here in the studio, I welcome Matthew Morse and Erica Jones. By a phone, I also have Raphael Magoya and Ashira Pelt. These are all youth who are involved in the Florida Youth Against Hunger. Let's look at what's happening here in Florida. There are more food insecure people at this time than since the Depression. And all of you, again, were inspired to work to tackle the task of bringing awareness of hunger, of the hunger program in Florida. And again, I commend you. Now, reports indicate that there's about 1 million kids in Florida who are food insecure. Is this pretty accurate, or you have comments or that you'd like to share about this? I'm looking at you, Matthew, so I'll go with you.
Yes, there are, in Florida alone, there are about I believe more than 3 million people who are living in food insecurity, which is having a lack of enough food at certain times, or at least not knowing where your next meal will come from. And it's in about 49 million people across the United States. And here in Florida, we have about 20%, a little bit more, of mm-hmm. children who are food insecure. And where I am in Leon County in Tallahassee, there are more than 52,000 people in this county who are food insecure. Food insecure doesn't mean going hungry all of the time; just means some of the time. But some people are have very low food insecurity, in which case they would go hungry more often. But we feel this is a serious issue, and decided to take action.
Okay. Now, Raphael, you are in Tampa, right?
Yes, that is correct.
What's happening there in Tampa?
Well, what I've noticed here while Ashir and I have been like going throughout the city when we were preparing the event here in Tampa, there are a lot of people in the streets, and there are a lot of hungry people, and a lot of hungry people do not want to come out to the public, and mm-hmm. so it makes it even harder to sometimes get the actual real data because people feel that they'll be ostracized, they'll be removed from their environments just because they're hungry, and that's why they don't want to admit it. But, with food insecurity, the deal with that is that people are insecure about their next meal. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. So they can go, they don't know if they're going to have lunch or dinner or even wake up the next day and even have food for that day. So here in Tampa, just seeing how many people walk around, and I'm also a photographer, and I do some street photography, and I also see a lot of people in the streets asking for help. There are some that do work, and I've seen some do some art and then ask people to donate some money for it. But you never know what's going on, and there's a lot of issues with people using that money to buy alcohol and mm-hmm. other things that they shouldn't be buying. But there are a lot of people that are hungry, and they need food, and they need that money to purchase that food and continue living.
Okay. Ashira, is there a similar organization up there at Holyoke, or are you just remain involved because you really are from Florida? You're just there currently attending school.
In Holyoke, I have seen that there's also very similar phenomenon that is going on. It's different than the one in Tampa and the one that I've seen in Florida.
In what way? Does it differ?
Well, in Tampa, I found that it's a pretty widespread phenomenon. Like, everywhere you go, there is a mixture of people who are doing well and people who are not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Spending time in at Mount Holyoke, we're actually in the town of South Hadley, but there is a neighboring town which is Holyoke, mm-hmm. and you see a much higher concentration of people who are food insecure in pockets in Holyoke than you do in other towns like South Hadley. So as I've only been there for 1 year, I'm still trying to get the ropes not only of college but of what's happening around me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been working a lot more in Tampa and in Florida, but I do hope to start branching out in Holyoke and all the different places that my feet touch the ground.
Well, Erica, I could see you nodding your head and smiling as your cohorts were talking. Are there things that you would like to share with the trends that you have seen in your experiences?
Oh, I just was agreeing with Raphael when he was saying that about the people on the side of the street. And he may not be in Tallahassee, but that's a big issue in Tallahassee that I see. And it's just...
People just being hungry on the...
People hungry on the side of the street, homeless people on the side of the street, and it hurts your heart. And he's like how people, they may use the money for something else, and then that may hinder a person from helping that person out, but some people really do need help, and it just kind of, touches your heart.
It seems like there'd be ways you can get around that if they're concerned about how they spend the money, that you can actually give them food.
Exactly.
And so you can get away from that.
Exactly.
And get around that. Because I've heard that, that complaint, well, you give them money and they still don't go and get what's necessary. Well, then just give the food directly.
One of the great things that I heard from working with organizations like Feeding America is giving them gift certificates to mm-hmm. different food stores, like a gift certificate to McDonald's or like another restaurant, because that way you know that they're not going to get something that maybe they shouldn't be having, but they are indeed getting food, and they have their own choice of what they want to get.
That's a good, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
I think it's important to remember that although some of the most visible signs of hunger in America are people experiencing homelessness on the side of the streets, the broad majority of the people they have houses. Some of them live in poor neighborhoods, but some of them are also middle class. The recent recession, many people lost their jobs and can't afford food. Many people have very low wage jobs, and that causes a lot of hunger. And even though we don't see that, they're still there. And so you can't tell by looking at a person. I like your comments about how we can help people who are hungry, like with like I said, gift cards.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I recommend is volunteering at organizations that help people experiencing poverty, homelessness, hunger. And for example, there are food pantries in many cities that help out people who are in need. And many of them are at churches or other organizations, like Feeding America has food banks. You can volunteer at those places. You can meet people who are experiencing hunger, realize they're just people just like the rest of us. They just had some unfortunate incidents in their lives they sometimes go without food. You can give money and food to food pantries, and you can even grow produce in your own garden, and also just spread the word to leaders, to your friends about this issue. And because ultimately it's going to take us working together.
You raised some very good points, and I want to thank you. And I think one is that you cannot look at someone and determine that, okay? And I'm glad that you said that, because given the economic situation now, you can't. You don't know. And another thing that I think is important is often we will look at someone and go, how can they be food insecure? They're overweight. And that doesn't really address it, because what they're overweight on may be empty calories, you know. They still may not be getting the well-balanced, nutritious meals. Have you found that to be the case? Have you experienced that at all?
Yeah, the organization in Tampa in which we gave most of the food to, which was Feeding America, one of the things that they asked for most was not just food, but food that was nutritious,
mm-hmm.
not like syrup or canned foods that are just fatty, but foods that are like corn, vegetables, and meats and things like that, because it's not just about feeding the hungry, it's about feeding them well and correctly, so they don't just gain weight from things that are not healthy for the body, actually makes them less healthy. So it's really important that people realize that when they donate food, not to just donate whatever is in the pantry,
mm-hmm.
but things that can help a person stay healthy and be able to work more hours without having to eat something and then run out of energy because it doesn't have enough nutrition.
You raised some good points. How would you all handle donations of food that's not nutritious, donations of junk food?
One of the things that with Feeding America, I see when they get a lot of junk food,
mm-hmm.
They package them separately. And I'm not really sure what they do with that because that's them, and we really haven't gotten into food distribution as much
mm-hmm.
as just giving the food to Feeding America. But I think they still have those for maybe large events where there's a lot of people, and they're giving out a good portion of healthy food. And then they have, like, those foods that are just, like, eating just for the flavor and things like that. And maybe they donate them to other organizations that specialize in cooking food, and then they give those as desserts and snacks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's better to give something, even if it is unhealthy, than to give nothing at all. But, of course, it is good to give, especially fresh fruits and vegetables.
Okay. Now, as I understand it, I'm trying to just kind of wrap my arms around the Florida Youth Against Hunger organization. You all collect food, right? Give me a feel.
Well, we collected food at our events. We mainly do is raise awareness. At our event last year in Tampa, where Raphael and Ashira were, and in Tallahassee, where Erica and I were, we did collect food. It was mainly about raising awareness in the community.
So now tell me about these events. What did you do here in Tallahassee? And then I'll talk with Ashira and Raphael and find out what they did there in Tampa. What did your event involve?
We had different officials we were trying to get different people to sign a petition to work towards ending hunger. And they had the canned food drive, and then they had the different charities, like Matthew said, come out and speak. They had their booth set up.
Now, where was this held?
By the old Capitol in Tallahassee.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So you did that in an effort to raise awareness. And how successful were you? How receptive? What happened? Did you find that people participated? I mean, we're just trying to get a feel for it.
Well, people were enthusiastic. We had fewer people than I had hoped for, but the newspaper did a story about it. I think local news stations did a story about it. So even though we didn't have physically present as many people, I think we still managed to reach out to the community more. And that's what we're doing here. We continue to reach out.
Raphael and Ashira, how were things handled? How were your events handled in Tampa?
Everything was actually pretty tough. We had to do a lot of work because one of the things, since we wanted to raise awareness, we wanted to do an event that was as big as possible. And we tried to rent out the Centennial Park in Ybor City. But that was really tough because we had to get a lot of documents. We actually went through a packet of like 60 pages, and we had to sign a lot of things. But then in the end, we decided against it. And we did get some help from the Children's Board of Hillsborough County, and they helped us a lot. But it wasn't they weren't able in the end to give us some property to do our project on. But then we went to the Cuban Club, and they were really generous, and they gave us their entire back lot, and we had stays there. And then after that, we just talked to a lot of food vendors. We talked to a lot of people in the community because we wanted to use this not just as a raising awareness program for hunger, but also, in a sense, raising awareness for the people in the community, what teens are doing in the community. We had a lot of teen performances there. We had bands. We had singers. And it was really interesting, and it was just like a big melting pot of different cultures while trying to raise awareness about the issue of hunger and youth in Florida.
Oh, that's commendable. For our listening audience, would you share, Matthew, again, the web page, the web address, how they connect if they want to become more involved?
Okay, yes. The web address, it's a bit awkward because we had to use Wix.com to create the website, but the web address is youth2011.wix.com/FYAH.
Okay. And that's for our listening audience. I'm talking with members of the Florida Youth Against Hunger. That's how you contact them. This is 411 Teen. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily to continue this very, very interesting conversation. We'll be right back. Proper nutrition is instrumental in growth and development of children. 8 states plus D.C. have more than 20% of children living in food insecure households, with Texas and Mississippi having the highest rates. The top 5 states with the lowest rate of food insecure children are New Hampshire, Massachusetts, North Dakota, Virginia, and Connecticut. The face of hunger and poverty is changing, okay? What are you seeing today that maybe we didn't see in the past?
Well, many middle-class families have become food insecure. People living in suburbs, people who probably years ago would never have expected to need to go to food pantries to feed their families, they now find themselves in poverty because of unemployment, low wages, and sometimes a variety of other factors like medical care, in some cases with the wildfires, other disasters. Mm-hmm. It caught more people who never thought they'd be in this situation now find themselves hungry.
Okay. Are you seeing the same thing, Ashira, or Raphael?
Yes.
All
right.
Go ahead.
I think we're in a pretty unique situation because, at least for me, I'm growing into seeing this. Like, while I was young, I guess I didn't notice it mm-hmm. as much. I wasn't sheltered, but I was definitely protected by my parents. But now that I'm getting older and I'm realizing what's out there, it's not as much as what it used to be like. It's just me understanding what it's like now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, it's just, as I grow older, I see what's happening, and I want to change it so that when I become even older, I can see a difference.
Okay.
And as Matthew was saying, it's not just people that don't want to work or lose their jobs, but these people, they lose their jobs and they had really successful careers, and just because of the economy or whatever issues, like their houses catching on fire or something worse, they did not have enough money to pay for homes, and these are people with children, and it affects a lot of people, not just those who don't want to work or those who are doing drugs or things like that and they can't get enough money. It's not just those people like it probably was before. Now it's a lot more prevalent where, like Matthew was saying, it's the middle class mm-hmm. and some people that are hired because their rent is going up. They had nice houses and now they can't pay for it. And just because of that, they have to go out to the streets or because they lose their home and they never had a chance to get that money back to start a new life.
Do you feel like individuals who are food insecure have to deal with the negative connotation that's associated with that? Just because often we think food insecure, and we don't even think food insecure. We think of those who are hungry, and we always attribute negativity, oh, they're drug addicts or they're derelicts. Do you think that that's the case? How about you, Erica?
I think they do. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of them do, and that's part of the reason why a lot of people don't try to seek help, because they probably might not even it might not even have to do with drugs or anything. Mm-hmm. Maybe it might be. I know a lot of veterans deal with issues
Great
like
point.
This, and they were doing fine, but because the negative connotation is tied to it, they don't want to seek help. So mm-hmm. yeah. I think that is true.
Okay. What about you, Mike?
Well, I think, yeah, I agree with you, Erica. And I think that part of our mission as Florida Youth Against Hunger is to change the perception mm-hmm. of how the way people view people who are poor, who are hungry, who are homeless. Because these are people just like any of us. They have emotions. They have dreams. They have goals. And ending hunger, it's not just filling empty stomachs. It's enabling people to have better lives, reach their goals, be more successful. It's not just especially for children, but yeah. Anybody.
Well, if you think about the children, if you're hungry, how are you going to learn? How are you going to be attentive in school? How are you going to participate? Because if your stomach is growling and you're really hungry, that's going to limit your participation. It's going to limit your attentiveness. Do you agree, disagree?
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
I completely agree because one of the issues that I've been seeing a lot more lately is that there are young kids going out into the streets and like asking for money, and that time that they could be using being in school, and this is during school hours, these kids are out there and they're not learning. They can't get an education because they're more worried about getting their next meal. And it's a very big issue because not being able to continue your education is just going to continue producing people that can't feed themselves because they don't have the education to find a career that will get them the money that will get them food.
Indeed. Indeed. I mean, it just seems like it's a vicious cycle. And if you don't break that cycle, you are doomed, you know? I mean, because those children who grow up hungry are more likely to stay in impoverished situations. Would you agree? I mean, you look like you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I agree. I think, though, it does sound pretty gloomy, but there is, of course, hope. That's,
oh, yes.
Part of why we're trying to do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think if there is somebody in those situations, it's important that we not only give them that they not only be fed, not only be helped with those services, but be encouraged so that they can achieve a lot. Even if they're in a food insecure household, we have to be supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And because many people have been through even worse situations and been able to do amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have so much potential. We just need to make sure children know that they can do a lot, even from bad backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. And now, I know you had four main objectives for your Youth Against Hunger rally. One was to raise awareness of hunger problem in Florida. And I know this is the kind of effort, this is something just being on the radio program is something that you do. Are there other efforts that we don't know about that you utilize in raising awareness around the state?
One of the things that we've been doing a lot is using social networks and just letting the people know that these people are just normal, regular people. They're working hard, and they're trying to get their lives back, but they can't just because the rent's too high or other reasons.
Mm-hmm. That's important. Now, I know another effort or objective was to call on the leaders for long-term and short-term solutions. Let's talk about what are some of the long-term solutions and short-term solutions that you may have identified.
Well, short-term solutions are certainly would be food pantries, things like supplemental nutrition and assistance program, which SNAP, formerly known as food stamps.
Food stamps. Mm-hmm.
That helps people now who might need help. And we call upon our leaders to protect programs like that because right now the legislature in Washington, D.C. is considering the Farm Bill, and that would affect how much the food stamps are funded. But that's just short term. The ultimate goal is self-sufficiency for all families in the U.S. And around the world to be able to provide for themselves, not have to use those programs, and I honestly don't have – I'm not really sure how best to promote self-sufficiency. Certainly jobs are important, but those are complicated issues. Do any of you have any ideas, any thoughts?
One of the things that I've been doing with my mentor, Shermont, one of the things that he's been doing now is trying to build a place where people can come and share their plant their own crops. And just have a community where they can walk in, help cultivate the plants and the land, and then leave, and then come back so often. And then after the plants are out, they can take whatever they grew and share it amongst the community. And one of the things that we had as our original goal when we were setting this up was getting FarmShare to be accepted back into the Florida legislation, because FarmShare is one of those programs where farms, they sometimes grow too many crops, or they grow crops that are still edible, but stores don't want to buy them because they look kind of dented, or they just look ugly, and so they don't want to put them on their shelves. And this is really good food that anybody can have. So what FarmShare did was that they would collect all this food and give them out to organizations like Feeding America, and then Feeding America would just pass them out to other organizations, or the FarmShare itself would just pass it around. But thank God, it was reenacted again, and it's growing from what I've heard. So that's good. That's a long-term project. But just letting people know that they can start community plots of land. They can use plots of land to cultivate crops and get the actual hungry people to work for their food, actually cultivate their own food. And this is a great solution, but it's also hard to do because not a lot of cities want plots of land throughout the city where there's a lot of homeless people gathered. And it's a sad fact, but it's true that the cities, the government for cities, don't want that because they feel that it's going to make their city look ugly, and that's just terrible.
Yeah, I really applaud you for bringing that point up, because I do think that is a real issue with cities. We don't want them to be seen, okay? We don't want the visibility. What does it say about our city? Do you have any forthcoming events there in Tampa, Raphael, that you would like to share that address this particular issue that people need to be aware of?
Ashir and I, we've been talking recently about what to do next this summer, and we've been thinking of maybe either doing a book or just interviewing some people, and not focusing as much on hunger, but just focusing on getting to know people throughout the city and letting people know that, as a photographer, I would take the picture of a person, and they would, give us a little bio. And the idea is to learn more about Tampa ourselves, but I also want to probably publish a book about it and just say that they're, have pictures of people that look like businessmen or businesswomen, but they're hungry. They're out on the streets asking for food, for money and for food, and just raise awareness of the fact that we all look different, but that doesn't, we all, we may look healthy, but that doesn't mean that our, lifestyle is healthy. That doesn't mean that we don't live in the streets. That doesn't mean that we have food insecurity. There are people that have food insecurity, and they look like $1 million, but it's a sad fact that people have that negative stereotype of, druggies and alcoholics on the streets, and those are the only ones in the streets. That's a negative stereotype.
We're taking almost an anthropological outlook on it, and we want to know more about Tampa so we can find out how we can better serve the people in Tampa.
Okay.
So knowing more about the problems and knowing more about the people, we feel like we can do more to serve, whether it be working with hunger or working with homelessness or working with any of the problems that are going on in our society.
Okay. Now, share with me what the Crop Walk is.
The Crop Walk is an event. It's actually a bunch of events across the United States. It happens yearly. It's sponsored by Church World Service. It's an event that communities do usually in the fall or the spring to raise money and canned goods to help help people experiencing hunger or poverty in the whatever city it's in and around the world. Church World Service helps people who are hungry in Africa, South America, Asia, Eastern Europe. And the Crop Walk will be taking place in Tallahassee, I know, this year, November 11th.
Okay.
I believe Lake Ella. And it might happen in Tampa also. I don't know when exactly, but that is just one event that will be taking place soon.
Any other events that we need to know about that are coming forthcoming here in the Tallahassee area?
Well, actually, Matthew and I are talking about having an event where we feed the homeless. Well, it's in the making right now, but mm-hmm. we're going to feed the homeless, and we want to also provide other services for them. We're going to see if we can maybe get workforce, have some wellness screenings done, have some spiritual leaders maybe come out and share an encouraging word to the people, and yeah.
So. Well, before we close, would you share again the website?
Okay, yes, the website. It is youth2011.wix.com/FYAH. It's a bit awkward, but it's a Wix account. So,
listen.
And if they didn't catch that, you can just send us an email at floridayouthagainsthunger@gmail.com, and we'll send you the link to our website.
Okay. Listen, thank you so much. I really appreciate you all sharing your time and the information with my listening audience. That's it for this edition of 411 Teen. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical engineer, Evan Rossi. Audio copies are available, and if you would like to participate in 411 Teen or have topic suggestions, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. That's 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org.